I'm Ted Baker in the studios of WEOS and WHWS at the Scandling Center at Hobart and William Smith, and this is the Hobart Football Podcast, Episode 48, Week 2, Hobart at Brockport, Saturday at 12 noon on WEOS. We're joined by the head coach of the Statesman, Kevin DeWall. Welcome back.
Good morning.
So you look at the stats, and it could have been an easy Hobart win. About four or five plays, starting with a fake punt on their first drive, that are the kind of plays that turn football games around.
Yeah, that's obviously a game that we look back on and felt two or three decisions on our part. You know, we make plays that we had traditionally been able to make, and then a couple of calls or bounces or things that went in their favor flipped a game that could have been ours and in our favor by a couple scores, and we end up losing a close one on the road. And definitely a lot of learning to be had. You know, whether we win that one or not, I said to the team, we got to be able to find ways to improve as we head into week two. And typically you'll learn a lot more through the games. That one burns, give credit to Alfred. They had a solid game plan and made plays when they needed to, but there was definitely a couple bounces and a couple calls that if they go in our favor, we have a different outcome. So try to be process driven, not just results driven. And I know a lot of people are going to overreact on it on the big picture. It's not much different where we were last year. We found a way to win a close game that was not pretty. We played much better than we did last year and came out with on the negative side of it. But you know, we know we have a long ways to go in the season and a lot of ways to improve on our end.
And that's how week one is. We always over-magnify that week one. And you always talk about controlling the controllable. So how do you keep everybody's head up and say, okay, you know why we lost that game. We know that we could have been the better team and won it. So let's move forward.
That's the loaded question, Ted. And it happened Friday night after the game, consoling, players and coaches. I think people that understand football and the big picture of it, we were a good team. We haven't shown we've been a great team this year. And we talked about day one of preseason. We got to find different ways to win because this year's team is going to be different than last year's. Well, just a year ago, if you compare it, to last year, we found a way to win a 10-7 game at home, where, again, between young, youth, experience, turnovers, a whole lot of things. And I asked the guys, I said, do you feel differently? If we were sitting there on Saturday, I said, would you feel differently if we win by 14, 17 points? And most of the guys shake their head. And I said, yeah, well, honestly, we could have been a 14, 17 point, 21 point win. I mean, I can go through three or four clear plays or calls that affected the outcome of that game. And I said, well, guys, it doesn't change the result of who we are and our decision-making in those. So from execution to just overall skill development, honestly having the emotional response, that showed we were younger at some positions, had some injuries, and other guys got thrown into the mix. So experience-wise, I think that was one of the things last year's team had. They had a resilience and a an emotional poise that we got better as the games went on. And I hope that'll be the same for this year as we gain more experience. You know, no doubt there's clear plays on offense, defense, and special teams that we could have and should have made better, whether that's returners with experience, whether that's young guys in the mix. So we've talked through those. But I also think when it comes down, there was a couple bounces and a couple calls that were out of our control. So those things happen. We now need to be able to respond better when those calls or bounces don't go our way.
One of the new rules bit you. It was designed to cut out fake injuries, but what happens now, we talked about this during the broadcast, if you're going to be hurt, get hurt early and get down. Don't limp around and try to stay up, because it all comes down to whether the ball's spotted. You lost two timeouts in the first half and then had none in the two-minute drill at halftime. They had three or four injuries that all happened before the ball was spotted and got the free break.
Yeah, the interesting part of that, and it's a new rule, so it's a focus on it. And we had it happen once in our scrimmage. So we've talked to our guys about it. But like, you also have you have a split second decision. And in the sport of football, there's a lot of times where plays you don't feel good.
Well,
so you got to shake it off.
And you're supposed to be tough. That's the whole culture you're taught from day one in football.
Absolutely. And the two of the guys that you mentioned, and again, we were on the short side of that call in the first half. Both of those were serious injuries where like they didn't go long. One was a knee, and the other one was a upper body, and they went down pretty quickly. But because the officials had spotted the ball so quickly, the rule is we lose a timeout, and that 100% hurt us, right before as we're trying to go score and potentially get points right before half to extend the lead. I think what happened is I think the officials talked to halftime and said, man, that really hurt Hobart, and I think Alfred got the benefit of a longer ready for play on a couple of those. Because, frankly, theirs were the same timing as ours, but the ball hadn't been set yet. So, again, that's things out of our control. We did talk to our guys about it. We're going to use that as a learning lesson in case that happens again. And you're right. If it's a serious injury, you got to go down right away. But, like, there's a lot of times as a football player, you get hit, you get tackled, you land on the ground. Like, one was friendly fire. He got hit by his teammates. Like, if we do that every single play, there's going to be a guy in every play going down. So, like, it's a fine line of telling our guys, here's the rule, but also we got to play to the standard that we want to play at.
I think they're going to fix that. I don't think they usually do that in season, but I would not be surprised at all if they make some changes for next year to prevent that kind of situation.
Yeah, and the officials even came up and said, like, the intent of that rule is like, you see teams trying to go fast on Division One and they're faking injuries. Like, those are not faked injuries. And I think it's tough to punish and penalize a team that has an injury like that. And, again, I understand the rule part of it, but those were bang-bang type plays that there wasn't like we were trying to gain any advantage.
Nothing-nothing game. No one's trying to gain advantage by rolling over. Yep. Aiden Conrath, the sophomore from Stafford, Virginia, when he threw that ball down the middle to Johnny Harding early, we all went, ooh, look at that.
Yeah. Yeah, there's and the chemistry is starting to come there with both him and True. They've emerged as our top two, and I think both of them played. Both of them had some really good opportunities in that game to gain valuable experience, you know, and some of them, there was at least one or two plays, at least for each of them, that they want back, and there's probably one or two plays they really enjoyed the outcome of it. So I think, as with anything, that position, the experience is going to be pretty good for them, and you know, I thought both of them gave us an opportunity to win the game. Both of them probably need a couple, you know, opportunities to look back on some of those decisions that they either made or didn't make, some audibles or checks or some throws that they want back.
It looked like on the sideline patterns there was some miscommunication a couple of times between the route the receiver runs and what the quarterback's expecting.
Yeah, there was a little bit in our route depth that were off. So some of it was timing. So a lot of our passing game is rhythm throws. So, you know, we have specific drops and timing of releases for certain routes, especially on the outside. And then you go through your progression based on movement keys. And there was a couple times, and no doubt, like I said, offensively, there's 100% a lot of things we can clean up. And I think part of that is in chemistry. That's also a position group that the receiver group was one that was been banged up. And you could tell that we're off a little bit on some of the timing. And that's based on either guys that had missed some reps and are finally back or guys that aren't out there right now. And we're just, you know, those are the things we got to continue to progress on, and we will as we go into week two, week three. Regardless of the opponents and the coverages we're going to see, we got to have a better rhythm in our passing game.
Yeah, we're going to be using the words banged up a lot again. The offensive line is banged up, and it looked to me like the quarterbacks really didn't have a lot of time to throw.
Yeah, well, when the game was in, you know, in the beginning part of the game, when we were able to stay pretty balanced, and I think our pass protection was pretty good, and then we lost couple of linemen in the first half, and then two others that finished but were hobbling. So, like, by the end of the game, they weren't feeling the same. And then I think as the score dictated it, their rush, their blitzes, everything else was different. You know, I think D-line linebackers, when they can just pin their ears back and go, are going to give a better pass rush than when they have to defend the run. And, you know, early on in the game, like I said, other than mistakes we were making or some, you know, I thought we had a really good balance between what we were doing, and we were getting better in terms of just the execution piece. And then, unfortunately, the couple of the third quarter turnovers, when the score kind of got, you know, to the point where it was going to be tougher, we still ran it in, but it was a little bit heavier pass. I think that helped Alfred in their game plan of trying to then just pin their ears back and go. And again, they were experienced at D-line and linebackers, and it showed as we were playing, you know, some experience there in the O-line. But then when we had some injuries, we started to get some other guys in the mix, and that's going to be definitely a challenge for us moving forward. I think our depth coming out of preseason is not what I would hope it would have been between some injuries and where we stand. We've challenged, you know, our seconds and our number twos and threes that they got to continue to go because they're a play away from being starters. And we saw that on Friday as a whole, we're just not as healthy as we have been in the past. There's no quick fix to that. We're going to work on getting guys back, but at the same time, it's always been the next guy up, and we got to make sure that these younger guys, whether it's younger because they're first years or younger because they haven't had a lot of starting experience, all three phases have been affected by it, and that'll be a focus for us this week as we're going to then, you know, go play a, you know, a pretty talented physical team this week. It's going to be important, and again, two of the positions, the O-line, D-line, are where I thought Alfred had a strength, and it's where Brockport has a strength, is the depth up front. You know, you can't manufacture and put 175-pound guys at tackle and D-end and think that you're going to hold up the same. So that being said, we're going to do everything we can with the guys we have, and I know our guys are focused on a better effort this week, and And hopefully the injured guys will stay the course and be able to join us back when they're ready. But we're definitely going to have some new faces stepping up in both of those roles.
What did you tell Conrath after the game, and what have the coaching points been for the quarterbacks for this week?
Yeah, well, the great thing about I love our quarterback room. I love how we talk to our guys. Like, honestly, I wouldn't coach them any different. It had to be won by three or four scores if obviously the outcome didn't come out how we wanted. There's tangible coaching on every single play, things that we talk about. And playing quarterback is a hard position because there's so many moving parts. And, his job is to be responsible for our 11 guys, himself included, but also knowing what the 11 on the other side are doing. So there's a lot of moving parts, and honestly, and even on one or two of his decisions, it wasn't just him. There's other people involved, but oftentimes, a kicker or a quarterback, it's like a goalie in some sports. There's everything thinks like it's on that one person. He's 100% going to take responsibility. And I know the competitor in him, he's trying to do the right things, but sometimes doing too much can be a negative there too. So, I looked at how I can be a better coach for him, and we talked through like the areas that he did well, and there's areas that we want to talk about. And I think oftentimes the game for a younger quarterback happens fast. And when things are, like you talk about protections and everything, when everything kind of slows down, you can go through your reads and your progressions a little bit smoother. And I think what happened is as the game started to push and all of a sudden now you're behind a little bit, sometimes you get away from your teaching and your training. And I think there were some times we were trying to do a little too much, not just him, other guys as well. You start to press, which is good intentions, but it doesn't equal a better performance. So I think what we're going to really try to do is get back to our training and our basics and, trust protections when we can and throw the ball where we need to. And again, we don't get back in that game without him making some plays and other guys making plays. So it's never one guy that, gets a win. There's never one guy that, causes a defeat. I think it's a process of many plays over the course of the game. And as we talked about earlier, there's five or six plays that switch that immensely. And Aiden had his hand on a couple of those plays, and I expect that the competitor in him, I know he never beat it an eye, he didn't look backwards, he's going to put it on himself as a good quarterback will do, and I know he and True and the whole quarterback group is excited to be able to help each other have a better week of practice and hopefully come out with a better effort this upcoming week.
Was there anything particular that changed or the offense figured out for the fourth quarter when you put together the two long scoring drives?
Yeah, honestly, no. I mean, we made a couple adjustments. They were running the same defenses. They kind of, they were trying to pin their ears back and go and gave us actually a little bit more underneath. But if you look at it, we had numerous opportunities in the first three quarters to score, and a couple times in the score zone, it was an imaginary false start call that pushed us back that settled for a field goal attempt. We missed a different field goal. I think there was one or two plays on our end we didn't execute. So yeah, I think it comes back to us and our execution more than anything else. But that's why I say, like, really, minus, there was a turnover that we would have had that got called back against us, that we had really good field position, and they go down and score. That 10-7 game could have been, 17-7, 21-7 in our favor. Instead, all of a sudden now it's 21-10, we're down. And I think that third quarter, it was really where a couple plays really swung the momentum. And the best part about it, and again, we had to do a lot of psychology on the sideline, telling guys, relax, let's go back to what we can do. And again, you mentioned it, and it's so true, controlled our controllables. Had we done that, we wouldn't have been in that outcome, in that situation where we were down at one point 28-10. And to the credit, it also shows that there's promise there. Our guys were competitive. We kept fighting and battling back. And honestly, had we had a stop here or, different – I thought if we had the ball back, we were going to have a chance to go win that game. And again, just didn't happen. But so there's a lot of positives to go out of it. We actually played a better game in a lot of respects than we did last year. We just had a different outcome. And I think that's where people got to take the results for what they are. Most importantly, how are we progressing as an offense? How are we progressing as special teams? How are we progressing as a defense? Because in week one, I think there's a lot of areas that we know we can strengthen and improve on, and I hope we will.
What were you thinking in terms of clock management on the last scoring drive? It didn't seem like you were in a real hurry, and then when you did score, you didn't have a whole lot of time left.
Well, the thinking right there was we knew we were going to need the two possessions. We had all three timeouts plus the two-minute timeout. They were playing a prevent defense. So throwing it deep and going super fast isn't necessarily what was best for a younger quarterback in our DNA. I think we were going efficiently. a couple of the called runs were based on what the defense was giving us and the quarterback checked into them. So I think the pace was where we wanted to be. We scored. Our goal was to score before the two-minute timeout. Ideally, we wanted to convert on the two-point play, which is when the lights went out and a couple things happened. We didn't. Our guy snapped it before. I mean, it was a broken play, unfortunately, for us. But had we scored the two-point play, now we're a field goal away. And with a two-minute timeout, three timeouts, that's four ways to stop it. So I was actually debating on kicking it deep. But either way, we knew we were going to need to stop. So we decided to go with the onside attempt. Didn't quite get the bounce that we wanted to. But either way, we had where we wanted to be. We needed a stop. And then unfortunately, in that time, our defense didn't do it that time. But from a clock management, you can go fast, fast, fast. But if you don't score, you can have all the time in the world. Our job was to make sure that we got it to that one possession game. And then ideally, if we can convert the two-point play and make it to a field goal attempt, and where we stand with our field goal kickers, now we only need 30, 35, 40 yards to get into field goal range. Ideally, with the idea that we go score and take the lead. And I think it was also confidence in where we stood as an offense. Like, we hadn't scored up to that point as much, but I honestly don't think, like, there was a couple times they stopped us. I felt like that was more we stopped ourselves, and that's not a knock against Alford's defense because I thought they played well. They were senior-oriented in a lot of positions. That was a really experienced defense, and they played us pretty well. But I also felt like our execution, we had things that we could have moved the ball on. So, I think that's what the messaging was. When we took the ball over, we knew we had two possessions for sure, and then we were going to have that rush third with a stop. And I think that was the thinking. And again, if we go really, really fast and we don't score, it's a moot point anyway. So I think the timing was, I thought we would score more in that three-minute range than closer to two, but we still had the four stoppages of the clock. And honestly, I thought we put ourselves in a position to at least get back and have a chance to tie or win that game.
Overall, defensively, you kept their run game pretty well in check. Kelly had good completion numbers, but for no distance. He was throwing 3-4 yarders. He averaged less than 6 yards a pass. So, I thought the overall defensive effort, 28 points is not what you want to give up, but in terms of yardage and just making plays, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, and I think that's the deceiving part. I think our defense played well at times. The difference was, one or two that we had an interception, we had the forced fumble was good. We had another interception that was going to set the offense up with great field position, and there was the penalty that called it back. In the big picture, I thought we played well. I thought Noah had a really good game. I think Mike McGee and some of the linebackers played well. I think our front, they were big, and that was a big experience offensive line. So, honestly, we held the running in check. The difference for that team was we didn't force them to kick any field goals. It was extra points. And more importantly, like, it was either a three and out or when they started to get a drive going, that was the other part is, like, how can we answer a longer drive? There was a couple situations, the fake punt, which they executed, they gave him good field position, was a questionable call in terms of, I don't think it was a legit forward pass, but like at the end of the day, they got away with it. That got him in. If we're going to be a really great defense, we got to hold one of those attempts in the score zone to a field goal or whatnot. And that's what our defense will mature to. And I also think at the end of the day, like, some of our better players had opportunities. They made a couple, 50-50 type catches, or they converted a fourth down here to their credit. And again, obviously the pick six was a huge swing in that scale. Like I said, we thought, like, when we got that interception, we're up 10-7, which granted should have been even more than 10-7 with good field position. Now we can go make it a two-possession game because we have great field position. That interception gets flipped over. Now they go up 14-10. The pick six makes it. I mean, one or two plays now all of a sudden is a 10-14 point swing, which in the sport of football is obviously pretty substantial. So again, that's as much on us and our decision making and our execution as anything. But I also think there's a lot of really good things to look at for a younger defense. We had some guys go out there and do some really good things, and frankly they were pretty beat up. Like, we had two or three of our guys who didn't finish the game, so there were some guys who were getting some really good experience in that game that I think we feel differently if we have a different outcome. But in the big picture, when you really look at it, pull back the layers, I think there was a lot of good things to be had from that game, and that's where we're going to focus on is the bright areas. Obviously, we're going to address the areas that we need to improve on, and there's plenty, but I also think there's a lot of bright spots, and that's why I try to really recalibrate the players and understand, like, don't just look at the results. Look at where we are in the big picture of things, and there were some good things to be had that we can grow off of as we head into week two.
We talked going into last week about Ryan Van Tassel's nose for the football, and he gets another fumble recovery. I mean, it's great for a defense to have that guy that's around the ball and can take it away.
Absolutely, and it was like Mike McGee did a great job punching it out, and you know Noah was around the ball. You had Ryan Van Tassel, again, a handful of guys that I think our defense, you know, that was one of the things. We don't usually turn it over on offense. We had three. We would have gotten it back three times. It would have been even. One got called back, and again, that's the difference of a turnover there. You know, we convert the fourth and one early on, and that then it leads to a fumble. You know, just different opportunities as we're about ready to go score. But I thought it was really good to see Blake Minsterman, you know, as a young guy getting his first pick, Ryan being around the ball. And, you know, both of those guys were guys who missed some time in preseason, again, because of some bumps and bruises and some injuries. So, like, I think as we move forward, if we can get some of our dinged-up guys healthier and, you know, get more and more experience, that cohesiveness, I do believe our defense will be a defense that can take the ball away. And obviously that helps the offense and the special teams with not just better scoring opportunities but field position for them.
First time in history this Saturday, 8 Liberty League teams play 8 E8 teams. It seems like that should have come together a long time ago, and I know all the politics why it didn't, but that's neat to see.
Yeah, it's you know, we've always scheduled a lot of the Empire 8s because of our geographic location and competition. It makes a lot of sense. You know? And, you know, we had been playing a lot of those teams for a while. You mentioned, you know, Alfred, we've been playing for a while. And for a while there we had, you know, Cortland and some different teams on the schedule. So, the Empire 8 Liberty League agreement, it makes sense these next 2 weeks. You know, it's now into a contract situation. So most teams will now be playing each other weeks 2 and 3. There's a couple teams that have some exceptions to that. But, yeah, it's going to be really good, I think, for New York State football. You know, those are the two main conferences, and there's good football to be had. So I think it'll be really good to see the teams playing one another.
Brockport this Saturday, 12 noon. They beat Buff State in their opener 41-0. Offensively, Ben goes, they kind of remind me of you a little bit, and they have their one good receiver back. We have Johnny Harding back. They have a guy with 40-some catches last year. Quarterback, actually two quarterbacks, they complete a lot of passes, and a great, great running back in Simmons.
Yeah, Simmons is a dynamic player. He's the guy. I mean, they could have run it every single play if they wanted to against Buff State. They're big and strong at the point of attack. They're going to be one of the larger, stronger O-lines we're going to face, and he's going to be one of the best running backs we'll face. Just knowing how the season he had last year coming back and watching him on film, he's athletic, he's dynamic, he's a guy that can make guys miss in a couple different ways. And then that receiver, he's dynamic as well. He's going to be a focal point for their passing game. A couple different quarterbacks. They actually played three. You know, they have a transfer quarterback that's pretty good and pretty athletic as well. They have a starter back who's their thrower and leader. He's been a multiple year starter. And then they have a quarterback they come in that's going to be more of their runner, a bigger quarterback that they use for the short yardage and situation. So they have a really complete offense, and it's as you saw when you win 41-0, they had a lot of things going for them in the right ways.
It's going to be another line game, I think. Their offensive line averages 298, and they had 7 sacks against Buff State.
Yeah, they had 7 sacks and probably could have had 27 sacks. I mean, they were living in the backfield of Buff State. Their defense is typically one of the top scoring defenses because of what they do. Yes, they have talent. They're well coached. They have a good strategy. But they do some things differently than most. And I think that's going to be a different game plan for most offensive lines. They have great intentions on making the quarterback and the offensive line uncomfortable. They will blitz. I think it was about 85% of the time they were blitzing 5 or 6 guys. And they're athletic on the back end. They put them in some different ways to play man or bracket man, and they do a really good job with the mixing up their coverages to kind of confuse some quarterbacks on the back end. But without a doubt, they're going to attack you. They do not want you to run the ball on them. They take offense to you running the ball on them. So we'll have our hands full with some younger guys stepping up at offensive line. This will be a really good test as their defensive line, their front 7 in particular, is going to be their strength.
Their D lists on the 2-deep as a 3-4. We've learned that what they show isn't always what teams run. So how does their 3-4 look compared to what you do?
There's very few times they're going to rush 3. I mean, they're rushing, and they have their stand-up linebackers that they call their outside backers. They'll blitz their inside backers. They're going to have us outnumbered in the box almost every single play. So what they do is with their linebackers and rolling down safeties, they're going to have 7-8 guys around the ball at all times, and they're going to dare you to throw it, but can you protect it long enough to throw it? And that's what you see. Like, When you can't run the ball, they suffocate you there. They put you in 2nd and long, 3rd and long, and then when they start to pin their ears back and go, similar to what we talked about in the second half against Alfred, it's much easier for defensive fronts, you know, linebackers and DNs and D tackles to be able to say, hey, we know you can't run it. We're going to pin it. And now you start to rush differently knowing that they have to throw it. So, again, line of scrimmage, any game in football, it's always going to be a big thing. We saw that on Friday against Alfred, and I think it's going to be hold true this week. It's both sides of the ball. We're going to, you know, our offensive line is going to have a challenge of a really aggressive defensive front with some talented players there. And then on the other side of it, our defensive line is going to have to be able to show out and be stout against a big offensive front that wants to run the ball.
They're a team that is where you were last year. They'd been getting to bowl games, could not get over the top to win their league, and that's what they're trying to do this year.
Yeah, I think they've had really successful teams the last couple of years that – you know, Cortland in their conference has had a pretty good run, and I think obviously some changes at Cortland and whatnot, but we believe Brockport's as talented as anyone in that conference. You know, we'll see how their league plays out, but we think this is a playoff type of team. We've had cross practices with them, and you know, last time we played them I think was in 2019, but we know who they are, and we know them, know their staff, know their players. They're well coached, they're talented. It's going to be a really good squad, and in our eyes, just like we saw, I think Alfred is going to potentially be a team, and you know, that's better than most people think. Like, that's a really good senior team if they can stay healthy in the right spots. That same Alfred team beat Brockport at Alfred last year, so I think a lot of people don't realize that Alfred is a really good team. Yeah. I think Brockport's a really good team. I think they'll be two of the best teams in the Empire 8 and potential playoff bowl-type teams anyway. So, you know, we have a lot of respect for the teams we play. You know, we weren't overlooking Alfred. We knew they were going to be a good team, and they proved it. And we have the same respect in the sense that Brockport's going to be a talented team that's going to, you know, be doing some things that's going to challenge where we are right now too. So I put a lot of it is, you know, you obviously got to give your respect to your opponent, but it comes back to how much can we progress from week one to week two with some other guys maybe stepping up where we've had some injuries. And it's not a, you know, woe is us. It's just who's the next guy up and who's going to step up. And that's been the messaging for our guys this week is like, really, let's focus on the things that we can control. And that's our execution, our decision-making within in-game, while still understanding the strengths of our next opponent. And they have clear strengths, and we're going to focus on those. But at the same time, you know, you can focus on the running back, and then the receiver's talented. The quarterbacks have a ton of experience. So, you know, it's going to be a whole game process. And we didn't do that. On Friday, we did not have complimentary football. And we've talked about it before. You know, we needed a stop, and we needed to be able to secure the ball a little bit better on offense. We needed a couple things happen on special teams. You know, 3 points go off the upright. Like, We need all three phases to be a team that's going to win against good teams on the road. And here we go again with a good team on the road. Granted, not a night game. It's going to be a noon kickoff. But we envision this being a game we have to be able to be secure and make good performances in all three phases, complementary football, to beat a good team on the road.
I think this weekend and the scheduling partnership is a great showcase for the Liberty League, because I think some people kind of have the feeling maybe the Empire 8 might be a little deeper or a little better overall chance for the Liberty League to prove otherwise.
Yeah, you know, and I've heard that for years. When we were rolling, we weren't playing the Empire 8 teams, you know, and you know, I've heard it back and forth. You know, Cortland wins the national championship.
Because they didn't want to play.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's in the big picture, here's what I would say. New York State football, we all, like, there's so many schools recruiting in the same areas. So it's like you're fishing in the same ponds. And there's different academic standards, there's different price tags, there's a whole lot of different things. But when it comes down to it, the top teams in the Liberty League and the top teams in the Empire 8 typically do well when they get in the national playoffs. And we've been a part of that. So I know, like, when we're playing really well, you know, we can beat anybody, and there's times when we can lose to anybody. And I think that's true for a lot of the teams. I do think there is, over the last 5 to 10 years, probably the landscape of the Liberty League is different than what it was 10, 15 years ago. I think a lot of teams have really advanced in support of their football programs. And I'd say that's true with the Empire 8. The interesting part of the Empire 8, I think there's 4 new head coaches. Like, there's been a lot of changeover, so I think you're going to see the Empire 8 having some changeover in terms of maybe who some of their top teams are. But there are teams that we've gone against or will be going against. I think it's great for college football. It's great for New York State football. I also think that, like, when the big picture, let's see, like, at the end of the season, who's the top teams from the Liberty League, who are the top teams from the Empire 8. My hunch is whoever – if you can go through either of those conferences, which are pretty deep conferences, you know, whether one team beats one or the other, here's what's going to happen. Whoever's playing the best ball late and can win their respective conferences, typically those teams do well in the playoffs. And I'd say that last year, Cortland, won a really close game at Brockport. Brockport was winning most of that game. I think Brockport is as talented as any of the teams in the Empire 8, and I'm sure they think that they could have been one of those teams. Then they go on the road and lose to Elfrid. You know, so it's like no different in our conference. You know, last year we happened to go undefeated, but we've been a part of, you know, two or three seasons before that where we're 1-1 away. Like, it's really good competitive football. I love the parity in the sense of, like, when we were rolling, there weren't as many strong teams in the Liberty League. Like, we were, I think, ahead of where we were now in terms of just support and alignment and everything. But I also think it's been good for our conference to see so many other teams, like, reinvest in football. And frankly, that's why whoever wins our conference typically is going to earn that opportunity to represent in the NCAA playoffs. And, you know, we did it last year, and obviously we still have a lot of football ahead of us. And I think we think we're going to go play one of the top. We just did with Elfrid, and I think we're going to do it again. We're going to play two of the best teams in the Empire 8. That'll be a good landmark of kind of where we are now currently in the beginning of the season, but it'll also give us really good experience as we then head into, you know, upcoming Liberty League games.
It's Hobart at Brockport, 12 noon Saturday, 89.5 WEOS, and you can find this podcast wherever you go to get your podcasts, and of course you can get all your athletics information at hwsathletics.com. Coach, thanks as always. Best of luck.
Appreciate it. Thank you.